You are recording.
Your camera's off too.
Should we read that agenda item?
It's gonna echo.
Good. Hang on, I'm gonna mute one here. Did you ask it?
Just gag me.
Okay, we should be good.
Got you.
So remember that, if you have to.
Yeah, I will, thank you. I wasn't sure how you did it, okay.
All right. We are recording, and we are back in session. And we are, okay, first, before we move on to this, on section three, number two, in case 21-131, that is pending till June at the request of Powell. But the requested respondent, that is pending until June. So now we are on to section five, number eight, and this is the AAVSB presentation on racetrack. The floor is yours.
So, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I'd like to introduce Jess from AAVSB, who's gonna do our presentation for us about racetrack. And Jess, if you wanna share your screen, whenever you're ready.
Sure, thank you. My name is Jessica Zanarzik, and I am the AAVSB CE Continuing Education Program Services Manager. So let me get my little presentation up here. Can you all see like a, can you see like a colorful lizard on the screen?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm here to talk to you about the racetrack member board suite. We know that the audit process can be cumbersome for you, and you are often tasked with collecting paper documents for your licensee. Your licensee has to dig through files or call providers to get missing documents and then send them to you, often leaving you to receive a pile of papers from a licensee with unclear information. We would like to help you with this process to make it easier for you and your licensees. So with that being said, we would like to present the racetrack for member board suite. We are now utilizing the CE broker system to offer you and your licensees the ability to easily track and audit continuing education. So why racetrack? As you know, the RACE program has proven to be an essential part of CE audits. Racetrack makes that process even easier. The racetrack board suite is automated, has its automated ability to monitor your licensee's progress on your continuing education requirements, and you can perform comprehensive audits. The system can be customized, it can ensure your licensee's CE requirements are met, and that you can audit your licensee's efficiently. So I'm gonna walk through a couple, just some of the features of the board suite, and then I'll touch on a little bit on the benefit to the licensees and then to the statutorily approved providers. So as we are, the AAVSB are working toward a comprehensive database containing all veterinary licensee information from graduation to retirement, this is another piece of that. Continuing education, as you know, is an essential part of licensure history. South Carolina currently requires the use of CE broker. When a board agrees to use racetrack, the racetrack program, we ask that you send your licensee information to the AAVSB for processing, and then you'll be able to use our audit suite. So you'll start the process on the AAVSB site, which this is our login screen here, and then you would click on this board CE access. From there, you're ported over to the racetrack powered by CE. You can see a list of the licensees here. It's a short list on this shot. But this shows you some quick information about the licensee. The green dot next to this individual's name would reflect that that license is active, and the red dot would reflect, I'm sorry, it would reflect that they were in compliance with your CE requirements. The red dot reflects that they are not in compliance with the CE requirements. So you can apply various filters to your list of licensees. This is just showing the licensees that have a racetrack account. So you can sort all the licensees in your list by who has an account and who doesn't. And if I were to look into one of those individuals' accounts, I would see this information here. So the licensee sees this information as well and see that what your medical requirement is, for example, how many hours are required in that category, and where that licensee has satisfied those requirements. If you have any specific requirements that are outside of the race standards, I know there are a lot of boards right now that have an opioid requirement that the licensee takes some CE about substance, that would be reflected and categorized here as well. We can back out of that record and we can filter this list by some very specific information, such as the issue date of the license, expiration of the license, the specific profession, status of the licensee, and if they have a racetrack account. The next few slides are going to focus on the ability to filter that licensee list and create an audit. So if we were going into that list and wanted to add an individual to the audit, we could assign a specific staff member a licensee to audit. So you can see the license number here, the name of the licensee, a cycle in which we're checking on their audit information, and a deadline in which they need to respond. This assignment would be for a specific board staff member. You could also import an audit list if you have an Excel document with the audit list, something that you've already done. You can import that and complete your audit. Inside the racetrack for member board audit suite without sending any communications from there. But you can also contact licensees directly through the system. So you can request more information from a licensee within the racetrack system, have information sent back to you through that system, and have a record of all those communications inside that system rather than sorting through a bunch of emails. You can also run reports without auditing the number of licensees. The compliance report, which is demonstrated right here, shows how many of your licensees are in compliance and how many have not. It also can give your staff a quick snapshot of the people in compliance or not in compliance. You can filter this and audit a percentage of those people or a specific number. So again, this is another screen to show kind of the customization of the entirety of your licensee list and how you can audit that, those licensees, the date range, deadline. You can put some specific criteria like omit licensees in an initial cycle or renewable licensees only, and that's up to you. So the statutorily approved education providers, like I mentioned, the RACE program, we know who the RACE providers are, but what about providers that Arizona specifically has given approval to that don't go through the RACE system? So we understand that there are providers that are approved by the board, and we will work with you and your board to ensure that those providers can track the CE for your attendees and upload attendee list, which is a requirement of a race provider. This is just another picture of the specific statutorily approved provider and the information that they might submit. So what about racetrack for licensees? So similarly to your member board access, licensees will begin at the AAPSB. There are three different account types for licensees to access. There is a basic account, a professional account, and a concierge account. This is at no cost to the licensee. They just need to claim their account. So licensees will sign up for a racetrack account on the AUVSB website. They use the Veterinary Information Verification Agency records with licensee information previously received for a vault service, jurisdiction license credential update, and with NAVLE or VTNE scores. In continuing our efforts to create a comprehensive database of veterinarians and veterinary technicians, technologists, the only information ported over to CE Broker, racetrack powered by CE Broker, is the licensee name, mailing address, license state, and number, and email with the licensee's consent to do this. Now, within this system, a licensee can check CE compliance, view the course history, self-report completed courses, and find current courses to fill any remaining CE requirements. So this is just an image from a basic account and kind of shows the licensee and how they can go in here in that add new section, add some more continuing education. This is from a professional account. You can see there's a little bit more kind of pizzazz to that account. It's an optional upgrade. It's $29 a year to have that upgrade. And then there's the concierge account, which would mainly benefit a licensee who's licensed in multiple jurisdictions. They would just need to email or fax certificates to a personal account manager who would take care of the rest of the information for them. It is available to a licensee for $99. So with the previous AAVSB program, you said licensees can manage multiple state licenses through the racetrack account. They can do that through our racetrack powered by CE Broker account now as well. And if you have any additional questions, I guess I'm here for a little bit longer to field some of those questions.
If anybody has questions, I think we'll have you turn your computer.
Hi, Jessica. Jane Salomon. You mentioned the cost for licensees. Is there any cost for the board?
The state board is to send licensee information so we can accurately assess our records in the NEPA database.
That didn't answer me.
There's no charge for that.
Okay.
It was quite what you said.
The only other concern that I have is that not all board members have access to accounts. Public board members who are not DVMs, CBTs, or serve on an AAVSB committee cannot have AAVSB accounts. Do you have one, Ms. Krieger? I tried to get one and couldn't. Mr. Logan does.
What does that have to do with racetrack?
Yeah.
In the capacity, are you talking about the account to access this audit information or as for a racetrack account, SRA?
I only heard part of that.
Oh. Jess, do you mind repeating your question?
I'm just wondering what capacity the question is about an AAVSB account. If it's a racetrack account specifically, then I'm more than happy to follow up with you and help set that up. If it is an account like akin to what Victoria has, I would need to just kind of make sure that's, you know, the parameters around who has access to what in that capacity. I would just need some clarification on that.
Okay, thanks. I'm hoping that will change and that public members can have AAVSB accounts.
Okay.
question in the chat, so I have to echo.
Did you raise your hand?
I didn't.
Jess, one of the members put a question in the chat.
Who? I didn't send it.
Okay.
Nobody.
Sorry, I didn't send it.
Oh, he has not sent it.
I just, I typed it with a period.
I see. Did you send it now? Yes, I feel like I see it.
Is it the question, is there an Excel template available to upload licensees?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, for your licensees to be converted into the AAVSB system, yes, I believe there are a variety of ways we can get that information into the system. Erin Griffiths is kind of our Viva database expert, and I know she's been in communication with Victoria to help get some of that information into the AAVSB system.
Because that's being formatted, right? You have to have your columns all have to be in the right,
right
order before you just ship it off to it. Pretty cool. I thought it was going to cost us a bunch of money.
No, it's free for us.
So again, that's been a legislature big for money.
What do you think of it, Victoria?
I would have to dive into it more. It's largely based on people doing race programs, so if they're not, that's it's not clear to me how they answer. Go ahead, Jess.
Can I provide some? Okay. With the race programs, we are requiring as of January 1st, 2022, all race providers to upload attendee lists into the RaceTrack system. So that information will be automatically tracked. If a licensee does not attend a race CE, they can self-report their CE certificates. There's nothing prohibiting them from doing that. And that will be reflected on the report that you would see for RaceTrack as a self-reported course rather than provided by a race provider.
I see, thank you.
This is Dr. Wright. Can you hear me? How do I do that? All right, hold on.
Here comes a question.
Oh, there it is, microphone. All right, this is Dr. Wright. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so question about this. on the race-approved ones, a lot of the larger conferences are now doing badge scanning to kind of check in automatically. Do you guys have any kind of cross-compliance with that to be able to take that information as they scan it and upload it directly to the system, or is there any plans for that potentially, or do we have to all report this manually each time?
There is, sorry, there is a way for a large provider to use an API to send those that information straight into the system. That would require some work with the provider with us to get that information kind of worked out, and that is definitely more techy than I'm able to kind of sort through that information. But for some of those large providers, I know that they are in conversation to get that set up. I've facilitated that conversation between the specific provider and CE broker to get that API for easy license tracking.
Okay, great, thank you.
Anyone else?
I like it. This, what's our agenda say? We're just viewing, or we're going to take some action?
No, it was just to learn about it. All right, Jessica, well, we appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I don't think anybody else has any other questions.
All right. Thank you all very much. Have a lovely day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I like it.
That wasn't too painful.
I want to hear more from Victoria. She got to know about how stuff gets uploaded and how, you know.
It would be nice if you talk to her, if they had a sandbox platform that you get in play with, where it doesn't matter if you screw something up.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
This seems great. the issue would be to figure out is how does that work with our online renewal system, and it really doesn't.
So that's the disconnect. But maybe in a couple of years, we'll have a different e-licensing system, which could mesh with this.
But it's for auditing though, right? Because we don't really audit, do we?
So we would do it by hand, and it's very painful. But if you were gonna use RaceTrac and what we do, then you're asking the licensee to participate in RaceTrac, and when it comes time to renew, to then type everything in our renewal system.
Yes.
You're asking them to do double duty. So I think I need to think about it more, and I need to understand better what they're offering. And then it's, you also have to think about how much effort and how would we get everybody to understand what this is. You can't make them go into RaceTrac, so how efficient is it if, you know, 100 people are in RaceTrac, but the other 2,400 are not? And then how do we as staff figure out who's there? And so at what point is it actually easier than what we're doing now? So it actually.
They're out there trying to market it, they should come up with that.
Yes, I agree.
So that's the hard part of it. That what we have works okay now, so it's one of those things where it's nice to have, but we don't have resources right now.
I just thought the filtering stuff, where you could say, okay, who's only got 18 credits? And boom, you have a list of all of them.
Yes, and that, they're, that's certainly great.
Or you could see, instead of just doing a random 10% and handling all those folders and papers, you could do a list and a filter and see that, you know, 20% are out of compliance, or only 5% are out of compliance, or maybe half of them are out of compliance.
Right, and that's how it should be. And again, when we move to a different type of e-licensing system, nowadays they have API links to all these different softwares, where all these systems can talk to each other.
Yeah.
So that would be the great thing. That whatever new system we have would talk to this. So they are the licensee is just entering information once. So this was just Nikki had asked for this to be on the agenda, so that we could all have an introduction.
And so we blame her for dragging this meeting on.
And actually, do we need to call Nikki back now? Because did she hang up on her phone?
We
told her, she asked if she could hang up so she could hear, not on the phone, but on her computer, so we need to call her back.
So she didn't hear what I just said?
No.
Let's start to get going.
Lucky Nikki.
Okay, we got Ms. Frost on the phone, and we are working our way down the list. We are on section 4.5, 2053 in regards to Sarah Anderson Kane, DVM, Board Grade Review, discuss take action on completion of continuing education as required by board order and may return license to active status if civil penalty has been paid.
And Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we did receive her civil penalty yesterday.
That's cutting it kind of close.
Yes, very.
The chair would entertain a motion if she's met the requirements.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept that CE is completed and acknowledge that the penalty has been paid and she is in compliance. And returns her, do we have to return, return license to active status.
Second.
Motion on the floor and second. to approve the CE and return to active status. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. 2072 in regards to Jolene Conley, DVM. Board may review, discuss, take action on completion of continuing education as required by board order and may return license to active status. That is also on your main agenda, I believe. This one was,
Yeah, that one was clear.
Well, that's not, that one, that's not showing me. On this top one, which for some reason the only one I got open right now. It's not showing me this other pages. But at the very bottom, there's a line in bold print, not for CE credit.
I know, I've been...
This certificate's not for CE credit.
But I don't do the federal ones, I don't know how, what I get.
What does that mean? There's a whole paragraph, how it's raised and approved, but right above it.
I vaguely remember there was some issue about that when she was signing up for them because she only wanted to do free ones or something, and she had to, in order to get the fancy certificate, she would have to like join that girl and pay.
Oh, and pay?
But you can take it for free and get this pseudo certificate.
The pseudo certificate?
That's how I remember it.
But did we make her pay that? We got fine. She didn't have any money.
It appears that she did.
That's okay. But she took it.
It appears.
Yeah.
The chair would entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we accept Ms. Connolly's CE as required by the board order and return her license to active status.
Second.
Motion on the floor is second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes. Next up is 2083 of the Hugo DM. Board may review, discuss, take action on revised continuing plan submitted in compliance with board order. This is one of those.
Thank you, Victoria. Please.
The board had given him an extra month. If you remember, he had submitted that he wanted to attend this conference, but he, at that point, we had no details about the conference. So he has found that information now.
But there's not one single mention of how many hours on any of these.
And any of it, yeah.
So,
that's
what.
That's crazy.
Okay, you got this piece right. Don't screw that up and add this other piece.
Is it?
So.
And that's all he sent. I thought that he could send information about the conference itself.
Back to him and
so, I think if the Nerains think those are all good courses, I have no problem with any of them.
Pending receipt of CE certificate.
Yeah.
Okay. So we know how many hours this is.
I mean, I guess you could just say the courses are fine, but the hours still have to be applied to the later, so we need to deal with that. If it doesn't submit enough hours, is a minute.
So the chair would entertain a motion to take our action.
We'll make a motion in 2083 that we have approved the CE plan, but require him to meet the approved number of hours once it's in for final.
Second.
Motion on the floor, any second? Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes. On to number 8, 2105, Gary Pollock, DVM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on continuing education plan submitted in compliance with board order. That is under supplement 1. we asked for.
I make a motion that we approve Dr. Pollock's CE plan as submitted.
Second.
Motion for a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Next up is 2003 Monica Noblet, DBM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on partial completion of required continuing education related to board order, and may review, discuss, and take action on revised CE plan submitted. That's also in supplement one.
So we have a little hiccup here.
Yes. So I don't know if you want to ask Mark what your options are. She has not complied with the board order.
Yeah.
And the term of probation is now passed.
Mark, what are our options here?
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, you have a variety of options available to you. You could just give her some additional time to do that. You can open up a complaint for failure to timely comply with a board order. You could do a hybrid. You can let her know that she has until, you know, tomorrow or 30 days from tomorrow to get into compliance. Otherwise, the board will open up a complaint. It just depends what your preference is.
Victoria, has she gotten any prior extensions on this?
No.
No. Okay. Extensions of time, I meant. Yeah. Okay. So I like your hybrid option. Granting her like 30 days and that if she doesn't comply that
the board will open up a complaint.
And that's a motion?
So moved.
I'll second that.
And there's a second. Any further discussion?
Are you also approving the CE plan?
Yeah, we're still going to make up. She's got to make up. Yeah. There was something wrong with that, right?
Yeah, she's...
She finished emergency medicine. She needs communication.
Her new plan, though, was 3 hours of communication, and it's like... It's meant to teach veterinarians how to increase their business and profit and teaching marketing principles. That's not what we were going for.
Correct. Yeah, so her CE plan needs to be resubmitted.
But on the other hand, if you can communicate that, communication overall will improve. You know how many times you got to get told no before you get one yes? 9 times on average. 9 no's for 1 yes.
I still have a look at my dating app.
Huh?
I still have options in my dating app.
Sales.
Keep going.
I don't know how you earn sales. Apparently not making any commissions.
You know what they say, it only takes 3 on, you know what, so I've got 100 app boys.
Don, you can sit
up here.
We have...
Mr. Chairman, so I apologize, so now I'm confused. So now we can't accept this entire CE plan, so she'd have to come back in June with at least one more course.
So she needs 60 days.
So she, unless you want to give her 30 days to finish what you're going to approve, and have her come back in June with another course and approve that, and then give her 30 days just to finish that one.
I guess the big question is, whose fault is it for waiting so long?
Hers.
I don't think we sprung this on someone.
No.
Can we give her something like 10
just
days?
How long is the provision?
Well, we're doing here 10 days to submit a revised CE plan on communication and delegate approval of that to Victoria.
I think
can we do that?
They could, yes.
Okay, and so that would be within 10 days, and within 30 days, she has to complete it.
All of them.
Great.
Or we'll open the case.
And tell her not to wait till day 29.
Or if she does, she's rolling the dice.
Right.
It's probably not gonna be a good day.
And just to, I learned my lesson, should we clarify to have just completed by then, or to have submitted proof of completion by that day 30?
Submitted by. Submit proof of completion by.
Yeah, thank you.
I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, because you have to, as long as it's like either postmarked or mailed by the last day.
Yeah, because you can do it 29 days, and then we don't get it for another year, we're sitting here waiting.
Yeah, so I think you're right now.
Okay.
I could have 5 hours in the last 2 weeks.
I'm just curious, do you get the certificate in real time, once it's completed?
Usually online stuff, it just automatically prints out.
It took the AAVSB about a week, maybe, to get out the certificates of completion on the board training.
Oh.
I think that may be different than the CE that that's.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, most of them, once you're finished, it's like, hey, here's your generic certificate with your name, or type in your name manually.
We just did two webinars within the last 2 weeks, and an outside company tracks everything, but about 2 days later, you get emailed a link where you go print your certificate.
Yeah.
But it takes about 2 days. For the report, she sends a spreadsheet report of who was on there and how long they were on there. Some people get on there, because you have to be on or you don't get the credit, right? They don't log on, they're like on for like 1 minute. It's like, who do you think you're fooling? I don't know, they're getting a certificate.
I tried that.
I stayed on the whole thing.
I tried that with driver school, it doesn't work. You gotta pay attention. But I mean, and even if it takes a couple days, I mean, you have 30 days to complete this.
Yeah.
It's 2 days, so that's less than 10% of 30 days, and you've already had a year, so.
Right.
You better figure it out in 30 days, or good luck.
So guess what, instead of going out Friday night, guess what you're gonna do?
Stay at home and be boring like me.
Sorry, I do think we have a motion.
Yes.
I thought we had to redo the motion, or do we?
Yeah, it was tweaked a little bit.
Amended to include direction, to include delegating authority to Victoria to approve the communication CE plan.
And second, I guess.
And second is amendment. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Thank you, Mark.
That motion passes. Number five, board may review, discuss, and take action on a report of dismissed Virginia Veterinary Medical Board case for licensee Melissa Mazur DVM. Ms. Stallman is the lead.
Yes.
Should be on your.
And that's on the regular agenda?
I mean, I'll say I'm slightly annoyed that this was completed almost a year ago and we're never informed, because didn't we say to keep us informed?
Yeah.
There it is.
That's a little annoying there.
Yeah. So again, it becomes me chasing
them. Yeah, it's like why are we having to do their homework for them? And it's like, you should have. We already told you, directed you to keep us informed, and you failed to do that.
Yeah, we sent her a letter.
But it was closed with no violation. Yeah, I'm Virginia, correct?
Yeah, no violation. Well, now she got a violation for not listening to us. So.
This is probably just a no action item.
Yeah. No action report. Yeah. Do we need to, we need to close the case? It's got our case. It's Virginia.
Yeah,
okay. No action.
So, thank you, Victoria, for keeping us informed.
Of course.
Number two, board may review, discuss, take action on premise inspection. This is Wickenburg Veterinary Clinic, new owner, John Wickenburg, DVM. I had one question at the outset. It says new owner, and that was the reason for the inspection. but the 2009 and the 2016 or whatever, they're all signed by him too.
He's still the responsible veterinarian, he just sold the practice. So the previous ones were what we call the random ones.
Yeah.
That this one was a statutorily required one because of the change of ownership. So he sold the practice to someone else, but he still works there.
And he still worked there and still the premises?
Correct. Correct. And so we have that.
So thinking, feeling like he's a little more invincible now that he doesn't own it, right? Seems like.
Actually not, and that's part of the reason, and Don is here to kind of talk more about that. But as you can see from the several years of inspections, is not only were there, you know, repeat issues, but similar pushback, shall I say, you know, to the inspector as to what was required. And Don can explain to you even more bluntly about how his intent was to comply. So Don, if you want to just kind of give an overview of what your concerns were.
So the concerns are really pretty clear. He hasn't corrected continual potential violations since 2003. So the pushback was based on repeated violations that were found during four different inspections. To me, it was expressed during the inspection when I explained certain things about how drug logs had to, you know, be logged, that it wasn't going to happen. He wasn't going to comply. And then I think, you know, the corrective actions that were submitted for this inspection itself speak for themselves.
So the corrective actions he submitted
for this last inspection.
Well, mind your own business, basically.
Yeah, okay.
His tone was not.
And you know, I don't want to be overreaching, but if he didn't want somebody to pay attention to him and be a little upset,
that's the wrong way to do it.
That's the wrong way to do it.
Yes.
Yes or no, sir, in that regard.
So, the first thing I can see, well, we don't really want to have to do anything. If he doesn't like logging those controlled substances, let's have the DEA go check.
Yeah, it's like that he doesn't need to have a DEA.
Let them throw the hammer down.
Yeah.
Just elevate it. That's kind of the thing.
Do we need to open a case?
Yeah.
You absolutely could. This is a situation where, you know, we've got multiple inspections, even though they have been several years apart. Same person, same violations. So this is the time that, you know, we've said, not only have we told you what your potential violations are, you've told us that you will fix them time and time and again, and he still hasn't. And now he's literally saying that he's refusing to comply.
And these are big violations too. I mean, this isn't 1989 anymore.
I'm sorry.
And these are some big violations as well. This isn't 1989 where we don't record, you know, controlled substances or things like that. I mean, there's a standard now, and so.
I mean, is there a point where we just say, all right, you're not a hospital. See you in court. I mean, is there a point where we just say that and be like, you're not getting a license. Go ahead and sue us if you want to.
Failure to comply,
I mean, there's a point where it's just like, look, you're not playing by the rules, so we're done.
But is there a process we have to follow to get?
I have a question. I have a question for board staff. At what point, since this is a new ownership, I mean, is there any ability of the board to reach out to the new owner with this information, or are we only allowed to communicate with the premise license holder?
Nikki, this is Victoria, and I'm looking at Mark as well. We consider the license is held by the licensee, who's the responsible veterinarian. So the owner doesn't have any play in this at this point. It doesn't mean that we can't reach out to them. Would that be correct, Mark?
That would be fine, yeah. And you know, 322274, when it talks about, you know, taking action for these type of issues, they refer to the responsible veterinarian.
Yeah. So, Nikki, is that something you'd want us to do?
I mean, I don't know how much of it is due diligence on the buyer's part, but at the same time, it seems like with the history, there's got to be more, at least to be proactive, right, to protect the public, especially with controlled substances. I don't know if it would be good to show that extra depth, maybe, in the seriousness, but again, I'm not sure if that's correct, so maybe that is a question for Mark, the attorney, or the opinion of the rest of the board.
Do you have any other thoughts, Mark?
I apologize, I didn't quite follow along.
She was just saying to us, for us to do further due diligence to make sure that the public is protected. If we're going to assume that he's not going to do what he's supposed to do, we do know who the owner is, and should we reach out to the owner, and can we, should we let them know that, or is that a conflict? Because the responsible, that's the license.
Now, when we say the owner, the premise owner.
The premise, the responsible veterinarian is not the owner.
Right, but we're talking about reaching out to the premise owner.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, the board does have jurisdiction over them as well, and can impose civil penalties against them for failing to, you know, violate the board's statutes and rules.
Okay.
So yeah.
So, am I allowed to make a motion then on that, or would that just be a direction toward board stuff?
No, I think it would be best to memorialize.
Yes. As a motion?
In a motion, yes, I'm sorry.
And do we have to open a case first, or is that allowed with given the inspection?
Well, I think, you know, first I think we should probably address what do we want to do with respect to the inspection. You know, and do you want to open up a complaint against the responsible veterinarian?
Yes.
Well, this is a renewal because there's a new owner, right? So it's a new premise license.
Right.
Okay. So it's grounds to refuse it.
Mm-hmm. True.
Do that.
That's about it.
But quickie, 72, 74.
Mark has one.
You know, and looking at the agenda, though, the agenda says may review, discuss, and take action on premise inspection. So I think that's the question that should be before us.
That is compliance.
We need to open that.
Right, and that directly relates then back to the responsible veterinarian, is that correct?
Yes.
So I think today, perhaps the most that we could do is move forward with it, you know, against the responsible veterinarian. And if we have concerns with respect to the owner, maybe we can either re-agendize it or, well, we would need to re-agendize it with respect to the premise owner.
So you're saying we have to approve this and then we have to open a case?
We don't have to approve our license.
Well, right? Let me ask Victoria, is it on the agenda for purposes of approving the new application? And as part of the new application process, there was the inspection.
It's not, because during COVID times, they delegated approval of premises license to the director. So I think, did we approve it? Has it been approved?
I have not approved it yet.
Okay. So it hasn't been approved.
So it hasn't been approved?
Correct.
Okay. So at this point, I think the question before you is, what, if anything, to do with respect to the responsible veterinarian associated with the premise?
Mr. Chairman, I move we open a case regarding the as responsible veterinarian for Wickenburg Veterinary Clinic, and based on the history of inspection, non-compliance, and repeat potential violations.
And obstinance.
Is that sufficient?
Yeah, and you know, Tracy was just asking if part of that motion could be then directing staff to notify the premise owner that a complaint has been opened against the responsible veterinarian. I think that would be fine.
I amend my motion to include that. Is there a second?
Can we amend it again and report him to the DEA?
I'm sorry?
Can we also report him to the DEA? For suspicious activity on a premise inspection?
Yes, absolutely.
I amend my motion to include that.
Now I'm going to second.
Okay, we have
Excellent. Good teamwork.
A second on the twice amended motion. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Or do we need to roll call? We're going to add this one. Opposed? That motion passes. We're good. He's on the road to perdition.
Except, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, and I'm going to look to Mark again, too. So the question remains about, we have the time frame of it, we have to issue the license within 90 days, so we're either probably at that. So 322274 talks about the grounds for refusal to issue or the license. So we're not, I don't know what obligation to issue the license or not.
It's not incumbent on us to actually grant it every single time, though. I mean, we can say, no, it's not granted, right?
Well, I think
it's just you have 90 days to make that decision.
You do, but you have Mark, the 322274, if the board did not want to approve the license, they would have to cite one of these reasons why they're denying it.
Yes, correct.
Okay, but am I misreading the item? It says it's...
So it'd be 322274A4.
But again, and five, I guess I'm confused, Victoria, because I don't think that's on the
correct.
It's not.
No, but that's on the back end.
It's on the back end, yes. Yeah. That motion is done. But from a practical standpoint, yeah, we need to know what to do.
I got you.
Because if we give you board staff authority to grant a license, we give you authority to deny a license, and we just deny it under these same statute, right?
Well, it would be for failure to meet one of the qualifications under, or one of the criteria set forth in 2273.
I mean, do you want us to make that decision for you guys so that it kind of puts it on the board instead of you?
I personally do not want to deny.
Yeah,
I think it's not agenda.
It's not agendized.
So, yeah. And I would argue very vaguely that it kind of is agendized,
yeah,
because the inspection
it's
was
a
because of the new owner change.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a new premise license because there's a new owner. So the inspection is all part of that new application process. I know it's stretch.
It is, and I'd rather not argue, you know, that as opposed to the merits.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry for interrupting. So good news. So we're still within the time frame that we could handle this particular question at the June meeting.
Okay, that'd be great.
Excellent.
Yeah. So
the license status will come, renewal will come back at the June.
So we have a motion on the floor and a second. We're ready to vote.
Yes.
Because everybody's talked all they want, right?
Yeah.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. And we're done.
Seems so
actually,
strange.
We voted on that twice. We already voted on it. Okay. Number three, board may review, discuss, take action on change of name and address. Change of name and change of scope requests. First one is Palo Verde Pet Clinic, change of scope, addition of housing and radiology, and that is Prince DVM.
Mm-hmm. So this is just a paperwork shuffle.
Okay.
Formally notifying us of that. The board still does need to approve it.
Are they changing the name because the father's turned it over to the son? Or?
I think they're expanding and, you know, making their footprint bigger. I think that's what the name change is about.
So I make a motion to accept the change in scope for Palo Verde Vet Clinic.
Second.
507.
Dr. Prince owns both Palo Verde and Cavill's?
There's actually three Dr. Princes that are related.
Yeah. They're both the Kirk Prince?
Yeah.
So he owns both hospitals? Mm-hmm. Or is the responsible vet?
He's the responsible vet. I think they all own them together.
All right, so A, we got a motion on the floor. And second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? passes. Next one, Foothills. Animal Hospital name change to Foothills Animal Hospital Emergency and Specialty Center. Change of scope, addition of 24-hour emergency services and surgery. Same responsible veterinarian, Kirk Prince, DVM.
So I make a motion to accept the name changes, change of scope, and the addition of 24-hour services to R-3506.
Second.
Motion for form and second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes. Four, board may review, discuss, and take action on a request for approval of continuing education credit for license certificate renewal. And first up is the California Veterinary Medical Association 2021 Pacific Veterinary Conference. Remind me, is it 60 days or 30 days? 60.
Yeah.
60. So it's no.
It's very close.
Yeah.
It was 10 days off. This is a conference a lot of our licensees go to.
How come they're not race approved?
Yeah, so they can still apply for race.
I can't understand why you'd be that big and you wouldn't be all race approved. It's just ridiculous.
That's California.
I'll make a motion to deny the California Veterinary Medical Association PAC Veterinary Conference or PAC Vet Conference due to failure to comply with time frame.
But is it all of them? Or just some of them?
Yes. More than 60
June 18th and 19th and June 26th and 27th.
So,
they're all over 60 days.
So that needed 60 days?
I was thinking, can we just pause? I thought.
And it has to be approved. So realistically, you need to give us 90 days.
Yes.
So we can get on the next agenda and then get approved.
Good point.
Yes.
And same thing with the race.
I was.
You're sending it in for race rule? You say 60 days.
That the later days were fell within the 60 days.
The 27th might. I don't
from
know
the date that she emailed us?
Because wasn't it emailed in April? It just was after.
Yeah, it was April 28th. And so it's
was it April 28th? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't fast enough.
So is it?
So, I mean,
is it when they submitted it or when we vote on it?
It's 60 days from the date they submitted.
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe the. Let me bust out my calculator. Hold on. Or not my calculator, my calendar.
There are only 28 days in February. Submitted April 28th.
It's darn close. I'm not counting, but it's either
so big.
It didn't make it?
It either did or it's just a day off.
Pardon?
They either did make it or it's just a day off because the other one is the 27th.
The 27th is the 60th.
Oh.
So.
I don't think I
would.
Well,
when
is it
though?
I
mean,
that's the 26th
and 27th? 26th and 27th, and the 27th is the 60th day. So 26th is the 59th day.
Yeah, so it doesn't qualify.
Yeah,
so if we could grant the 27th, maybe, but that's the 60th day.
Seriously, over a day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a statute.
You can't change it just because you're not.
They can still go. They can still get race approval. That's quicker. Dr. Burns will file. Are you still on that?
Quicker, no.
No.
Not quicker. They're not going to get that either. But why don't they already?
Yeah.
That's just silly.
But, I mean, so if we wanted to, we could give the 27th. That is the 60th day. Depending on how we want to read it, but I mean, you can get one day out of four. But that's the max.
So if it's not approved, then a lot of people wouldn't really bother with it then, right?
It's virtual anyway.
Okay. Again, it's in black and white. It's clearly laid out, unfortunately. We've had denied before for being a time frame violation. So that is what it is there. It's just, I mean, since the 27th is the 60th day, does that fall in that 60 days or is that... Not following, I guess. What is day one? I guess is the question.
That comes up a lot.
Keeping
count differently to give you a day one.
Because I didn't count the 28th. I counted the 29th as day one when I was counting.
Yeah, right.
So that means that
right.
The 27th would be the 60th. So
basic behavior pharmacology, prevention is easier than treatment, the importance of preventive behavioral services.
But it was submitted as one.
Fear-free learning.
Request going through the 26th and 27th, correct?
Yeah, we've pulled out classes individually on other ones, like the holistic one. We said, oh, this one is okay, that one's not, so I guess we could do individual days. So do we have the actual calendar of what day is what? Yeah, we do. So we could give, we could just say these classes are approved only.
Basic behavior pharmacology. Prevention is easier than treatment, the importance of behavioral, preventive behavioral services. Fear-free learning to listen to our patients. Fear-free veterinary experience from home to hospital and home again. That's it. 4 hours.
There's only a few courses on 27. There's a
small amount of
medicine. Yeah, there's a small amount of medicine. There's chronic kidney disease 1, diagnosis, staging, and prognosis. Chronic kidney disease 2, 3, and then preventing urinary tract infections.
There more is on the spreadsheet than there is on the description of the courses.
Oh, is there more? Oh, okay, because I'm
found it. Word document. Okay.
There's the 4 I just read off under
yeah.
Technician.
Yeah.
Those are the 4 they described. So they didn't describe the sponsored, the one sponsored by that, the one sponsored by a barrier and one, and the one sponsored by here, the First National Bank.
So we could approve track A and track B for June 27th.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be confusing if we approve certain ones, because as an attendee and you see something approved, then you're going to think the conference is approved, and now we're going to have all these Arizona veterinarians who have done this conference.
That's on the conference, though. Right. That's a complaint to them. That's not a complaint to us. We can only follow our
strategies. I think that's ridiculous. I could not vote for that. I either say deny the whole thing based on timing or approve it based on it's one day off. But splitting it out is going to be confusing to the people in this community who are taking these seats.
Well, it's only one day off for one quarter of it. Half of it is out.
Half of it's totally gone.
Yeah.
Half of it's not even close to 60 days.
First so then just deny it. I'm just saying I don't want to split it. That's confusing.
If we deny this, though, and they're, I guess it's a council question. If we deny it and they're still within for that one day, could that raise a head for you, Mark?
It could be a problem.
So,
because, you know,
so I think we have to.
It's submitted within 60 days, and part of it is.
Yeah.
It is timely, so.
So I'll make a motion then to accept track A and track B for June 27th and deny the rest of it.
Second.
Motion on the floor and a second to approve the only hours that fall within the window. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Me.
The ayes have it. And they just did that for spite, but.
I don't agree with that.
It's
going to get people in trouble, and I think that's a bad idea.
That's the
comment. It's on them. They should make sure.
Yeah, unfortunately,
they make sure people know.
They made the mistake. It's not up to us to fix it.
All right, next up is the.